You don't have to hear a lot from Philippine President Rodrigo Duterte to realize why he's so controversial. Here he is promising to use violence to tackle his country's meth epidemic.
My campaign against drug will not stop until the last pusher and the last drug lord are...
That's Duterte pretending to slit someone's throat. As president, he's kept his tough-talking promise. Since he took office in 2016, thousands of alleged pushers and dealers, and also drug users, have been killed by police in the Philippines with no trial. Reporter Aurora Amendral wanted to learn more about what made Duterte the kind of president he is today. So she visited his hometown, the city of Davao, in the southern Philippines. Duterte was the mayor there for more than two decades, credited with making the city relatively safe. It's also where his family has had a hold on power for generations. Here's an excerpt from the story Aurora reported in Davao for PBS Frontline's podcast, The Frontline Dispatch.
15 minutes from downtown in a leafy gated subdivision is the house where Duterte grew up. His sister lives here now.
We're here to visit Eleanor Duterte.
A security guard opens the gate. It's a simple two-story house, a little rundown. Inside, there's a small Catholic chapel. On the wall are the Ten Commandments, Duterte's presidential portrait, and a drawing about 4 feet high of their mother, Soledad.
I am the oldest daughter of Soledad Roa Duterte, and I am the older sister of Mayor Rodrigo Roa Duterte.
Eleanor Duterte is thin, 76 years old, 3 years older than her brother, the president. She's wearing Chanel earrings, some jade bangles, and a striped shirt with a Mickey Mouse applique at the center. She lived in California for more than 30 years. After she retired, she moved back to the family home.
All I can say is in his heart, he's guided by God. Trump is also guided. Xi Jinping is guided by Putin. I'm not saying they're saints, they're human beings. But they're guided by a higher force. They're not guided by Darth Vader. They're guided by the light of God.
Eleanor says her brother got his sense of discipline from their mother.
When he does something stupid, like he's found on a rumble, then the police comes in and knocks on the gate and says, Rodrigo's in a rumble. Here he go again. He's asked to kneel. We have an altar upstairs with a crucifix. Then he kneels.
She tells me their mother punished her brother by making him kneel in front of the family altar. In some tellings, he's kneeling on mung beans. She made him hold out his arms.
The arms out is like a crucifixion, you know.
Did your mother used to whip Rodrigo?
Whip?
Yeah.
He has been whipped so many times.
Eleanor has a favorite story about Duterte as a kid.
So one time my parents were not here. So my brother came home and he had nose bleeding all over in the face. And I said, what happened to you?
Duterte told his sister a group of kids had ganged up on him and beat him up.
I said, okay, come on, let's go. I bring him to that group and I said, is it true that you were fighting here? And then, is it true that, you know, you were not fighting fair and square? So the kids were silent. Which of you did the punch? He was bleeding. One kid says, he did it. And the other kid, no, he did it. And so they were going like this. So I pulled the youngest and the shortest. I took hold of him, and I know what a chokehold is. A chokehold is that you put your arm around the neck. So the kid was saying, I said, you tell the truth. Who's the captain here? So he pointed to the tallest guy. So I said to the tallest guy, the next time you do an unfair fight, you're toast. Remember that. You will answer to me and you're toast.
When Duterte was 14 years old in 1959, his father, Vicente, became the governor of the province of Davao.
He was a very peaceful, mild-spoken man. But when he lays down the law, he lays down the law.
The Duterte children grew up surrounded by politics. Like many provincial politicians, the elder Duterte held court at home, dispensing orders, advice, and favor.
He told Rodrigo that when you enter politics, you must be very clear with what you want. There are many forces that will oppose you, and you have to stand your ground. We are not a military family, but Rodrigo took that to heart.
Their father died of a heart attack when Duterte was just 22.
From that time on, my mother was a widow. She became the father and the mother of the entire family.
Soledad Duterte was a powerful figure.
We were in the logging business. We were in the fishing business. We were in the sawmill business. She was a realtor. She was in the real estate business. She was a teacher. She handled five hats. So who is the hero?
Soledad was also an activist. She rallied against the authoritarian rule of then-President Ferdinand Marcos. And she helped Duterte start his political career.
Do you think your mother believed that he would be able to do something? Why him?
Yes, because he's a very good observer. During my father's time, he learned a lot when my father was governor. He and my father talked, father and son, always, during dinner. My father would tell me, one day if you should choose politics, you have to do this, you have to do that. So my mother knew that of all his children, Rodrigo is the most prepared to enter public life.
Their mother was by Duterte's side until she died in 2012. She remains a towering presence.
Look at him today because he learned this lesson. You know, when he has a problem now, he goes, he cries in the mausoleum where my mother's ashes are buried. He tells my mother what his problem is. He cries there like a baby. Because the only person he really listens to is my mother. There's no other.
Aurora Almendral reported that story from the southern Philippines for PBS Frontline's podcast, The Frontline Dispatch. As you just heard, she learned a lot about President Rodrigo Duterte from speaking with his sister, Eleanor. I just had to ask Aurora, though, what was that experience like?
Eleanor is eccentric, very much a big character, and makes sense that this is the kind of family that he comes from. When I met her, we ended up talking for 3 hours. She was just going on and on, really in much the same way that Duterte does about all of her ideas. But she also told me some stories about him when he was a child.
Yeah, well, it sounds like she could have been president, too. She told you, though, when he was a kid, he'd get into a lot of trouble. And his mother, their mother, was a tough disciplinarian.
Well, he would get punished by his mother, who sounded like a very exacting woman. His mother had this horsewhip, and when he misbehaved, which sounded like it was quite often, he would get a whipping. In some way, it seems like he's emulating what his mother did for him. He was an unruly, bad kid, constantly getting into trouble, but with lots of discipline and tough enforcement, he became the person that he is today, which in his estimation is the right kind of person.
And the city of Davao itself, where he grew up and served as mayor. How did that kind of whole experience affect how he is as president?
So in the 1970s and the early 1980s, Davao was an extremely violent place. This is a time when Duterte is growing up. He's becoming an adult. He becomes a prosecutor. And he's dealing with cases that are genuinely heinous. There are rebels everywhere. There are vigilantes and insurgents. It's just, for years, was a very tumultuous time in Davao. So this idea of bringing security to people, stemming the violence, is something that really formed him as a person. And that's what he claims to have brought to Davao in the over 2 decades he was mayor, and that's what he says he's trying to do to the Philippines now.
Aurora, thanks very much.
Thank you, Marco.
You can hear the rest of reporter Aurora Almendral's story about President Rodrigo Duterte on the Frontline Dispatch, the podcast of our partners at PBS Frontline here at WGBH.